I'm going to show you something in Isaiah 61. And you're going to see here a prophecy concerning Jesus. And this prophecy shows you the office of Jesus. And the Bible says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach the good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the operation of prisons to them that are bruised." Now, when you read the New Testament, you will see that when Jesus came into the synagogue in Luke, from memory, I think it's chapter 4, this is the scripture that he pronounced to his fellow Jews. And what he was saying to them is, this is a scripture concerning the messianic prophecies. And what he was saying to them is, the anointed one, that means the Messiah, is standing in your midst today. And so, his job, according to this scripture, was to bind up the brokenhearted. Now, how many people are brokenhearted in here? You see? Isaiah 61. And then I think it's Luke 4. And to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. Who are the captives? Those are the people in the world that the devil has taken as captives, spiritual captives. And then it says, opening the prison to them that are bound. You see, Jesus' job was to set you free. And so when you get a picture that his power and his anointing can make you free, then you can be free indeed. But if you hinder him through your will, he can only go down the pathway of freedom as far as you will let him go. He cannot make you do anything. He will not make you do anything. He will warn you of things that you're doing are not good for you, that you might need to turn around from certain aspects that are going on in your life, certain sins. And I can tell you that sin will open the door wide as a barn. The enemy can come in those open doors. And so as we go through deliverance in this place, one of the things that you have to learn immediately is deliverance is taking ground. And what you're doing is you're taking ground back from the enemy. And what this scripture was a promise to the person that would repent, it was a promise that God was going to open up the doorway of freedom and to heaven for these people that would receive the Messiah. And so you can see that what we're talking about here is spiritual liberty. Now, you will either walk in spiritual liberty or you will walk in spiritual bondage. Now, until Jesus came, people that believed that Messiah was coming, they had to look forward to the event that the Messiah was coming. They had to see that Messiah was going to set them free. So Isaiah was painting a picture of them. The day is coming when Messiah, the chosen one, the anointed one of God, would have the anointing and the power to set you free. Now, some of these Old Testament saints died before Jesus came on the scene. It didn't nullify the event of the coming of Messiah, because it was a prophecy, the Word of God, and the Word of God is true and powerful. And the Word of God can reach into the future as well as reach into the past, reach into the present. In God's terminology, there is no such thing as time. I think I made up a new word. But there's no such thing as time. And so Jesus was sent to set the captives free, but at the same time, he was sent to destroy the works of the devil. Destroying the works of the devil. In verse 2, the scripture says, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that are mourn, that mourn. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Now you see, this is the picture of the coming of Christ into your life, the change that's supposed to happen in your life. Now, the changes that are supposed to happen in your life cannot happen unless you walk in agreement with Jesus, and then they can happen. It's like Kitty was explaining to me that Sean got a telephone call, and a lawyer told him that some man years ago that owed him some money, that he, Sean, was in a class action suit about this, and Sean didn't know about that. He just knew that the man owed him money, I guess. But you see, when he asked Jesus to save him, things begin to turn. Things begin to turn in your benefit. I can tell you that somebody else in here got a $250,000 piece of land that they didn't think they were going to get. But when you receive Jesus, things begin to turn. Somebody else sitting in here has a very nice condo that when they started coming to Miracle, they said they wanted to get a certain apartment. And they said, Pastor, I just don't even know if I can afford it. It was $500, I believe, rent a month. Within a couple of months, that person was able not only to move out of that apartment, but a relative signed for them to have a condo. And they live in a very nice condo today for the same amount that the apartment would have cost them. Things are supposed to change when you find Jesus. Amen. The Bible says it like this: he will restore that which the shankle worm has eaten and the pommel worm. And if you know about those things, they would eat up all of the leaves off of the tree and everything on the ground, and they would leave a dust bowl everywhere they went, which meant that nothing was growing, and people would go into starvation because there would be no food left for the people. And so what I'm trying to say to you is that the curses that come down upon those that don't serve Jesus are real, and the blessings are just as real. And the curses that come down upon people are ashes. Everything is burned up. Everything is worthless. Amen. All of you have experienced this in here. No matter how hard you seem to work, you just never could get ahead. But now you have a future. As you follow Jesus, Jesus will turn things around for you. I remember people coming to Miracle that are still in Miracle, doing very well. That when they came, they had broken down cars that they had to fix every other block that they went. They had nothing. And now they have very nice homes, nice cars, nicer jobs than they've ever had in their lives. And so the Lord knows how to take the spiritual screw and twist it in your behalf. Now, one thing that you need to be very aware of is, as God begins to bless you, don't take it for granted. Don't do like a lot of Christians believe that God just has to do that for you. That isn't exactly the way it works. He's blessing you because you're a son. You're a king in His kingdom. You are a chosen vessel in His kingdom. And so now, if you're a chosen vessel in His kingdom, He expects you to act like a king's son, right? Now, you know Harry in England. Diana was teaching those two boys how to be children of the world when she was alive. But as soon as she died, they went into immediate training to become kings of England, because that's why they were born, according to their bloodline. And so they have to do certain things, because if they don't do those things, when they become kings, they wouldn't be able to hold the kingdom together. They wouldn't be able to rule and reign. They wouldn't know what their functions are. And so when you become a born-again Christian, that's what you're doing here, is you're learning how to function. You're learning how to rule and reign over the kingdom that the Lord has for you here on this earth. There's a kingdom on this earth. And this is not the Kingdom Now message, by the way. What this is it's your blessings on this earth, so that you learn how to walk with Jesus and to rule with Him in your kingdom. So that you learn how to do those things that He has called you to do. Now, how many remember that when, before you became a Christian, you were just beat up all the time, sad all the time? There's nothing you could do right. You walked around with your face looking like you sucked a lemon all the time, and chances are you did. And nothing pleased you. It just, nothing was right, right? You were a ball bouncing funny all the time, and you couldn't get it together, right? Well, you see, He's telling you here, He wants to give you beauty for ashes. He wants to change the way you are, the way you were. Now, how can He give you beauty for ashes? The first thing that you have to understand is this, that your old life, you came from a family tree. And every tree goes after the pattern of that tree. You can't make an ash tree out of an oak tree. Is that right? So as we begin to peer into our family trees, we begin to see things in our family trees that we've inherited. And you will inherit these things both physically and spiritually. And these inherited things follow you all of your life. So what you have to do is to understand that when you become born again, The word says it like this: old things are passed away, all things are made new. And the reason that all things are made new is that you are born into a new family. You're no longer a member of that old family. It's just like they never happened. Although you love them, you pray for them, but that's not your family anymore. Can you understand that? You know, one guy in the book of Matthew, Jesus said, come and follow me. He said, well, I'll come later, Jesus. I got to go bury somebody in my family. He said, let the dead bury the dead. In other words, this is an invitation for you to come and follow me into eternal life, you see. That means that you have to stop the things that you used to do, you don't do anymore, and your choice is always spiritual. Always. So in order to find out what's spiritual, that's why you come here, so that you can learn what it is that you have to give up, what it is, how you walk. And so the oil of joy of mourning and the garment of praise of heaviness. Now, do you remember last week we taught on the spirits of oppression? And what we did is we taught you that as you're coming through deliverance, that spirits that have abided in your vessel since you were born, these spirits have abided in your vessel, and they come out like onions, like peeling onion layers, you see. And so what happens is as they come out, the spirits, according to the word, they go to the dry places and they say, I don't like it over here. They don't like the dry places. So a period of time will go by and they will come back and check you out. They'll look at you. They'll scan you. They'll see what you're doing. They'll see if you're living in your new life. If you are filled with your new life. Now, you see, when you were in the world, all the choices that you made were the choices that you were drawn to make by the devil. You drank because a spirit at an early age began to draw you to drink. Or you cuss because there's a spirit that teaches you how to cuss. All of these things are fruits that came into your life before you become born again. Now, when you become born again, some of these things are not immediately eradicated, unfortunately. You know why? Because some of those spirits are still embedded in your flesh and in you. And you have to go through those cleansings that we talk about. The old black people used to call it purgings. We call it cleansing the spirits out of you. Now, doesn't it make logical sense that if you have a spirit in you that you used to cuss all the time, and after you become born again, all of a sudden you cuss, that spirit might still be in there? Sometimes it's your own flesh. Sometimes it's your own mind, but it could be a spirit still in there. And so what the Lord wants to do with you is he wants to clean you so that you can clean other people, so that you can walk with the spirit of joy and righteousness. Joy and righteousness. That's what those scriptures are telling us. That you might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Now you see, your life can be glorified as you live for Jesus. Because people look at you and they see a picture, you see, of you. When I drove up to the church tonight, Sean was out there and Kitty, and Sean was cutting the grass. That was a nice picture to look at. A month or so ago, Sean would have never come over here and cut the grass. Is that right? It would not have dawned on him to do that. But as a gift to Jesus for what Jesus is doing in his life, he said, let's go cut the grass at the church, which is a good thing. That shows fruit, good fruit, beginning to develop in a person's life, you see. The old fruit begins to dry up and wither as the new fruit begins to grow. Now, there's a scripture in the Old Testament. I'm not going to look it up or anything. It's just coming in my mind. But it tells us that Jesus can restore that which the chancre worm has eaten. I mentioned that earlier, and the palmer worm. That means that everything that the devil is stealing from you, he can restore it. He can restore it financially, spiritually, in your health areas. We had a testimony from my sister, Bridie, too, before the program started. And over in Scotland, you would be absolutely amazed at the fruit that this little church has gotten over in Scotland. They're over there, but we're here. And she got a telephone call a couple of weeks ago that her brother was diagnosed with a cancer in his a colon. And her brother says, well, I'm not going. He says, I'm not going to the doctor back. Well, she and I prayed, and we took authority over the spirit of cancer and bound it up, commanded it to go, and asked the Lord to, and bound up all of the spirits that the Lord showed us. See, there could be Antichrist spirits. There could be lying spirits, spiritual deafness, spiritual dumbness, spiritual blindness. There could be blocking spirits. There could be religious spirits. And by the way, I worked the last couple of days on the book that I can get out of the computer so that I can print up some copies for you. And we're just going to ask you to save up a little money and help us pay for the book, if you will. But maybe I'll have them within, maybe by next week anyway. But the point being is they'll show you the spirits. They'll show you some of the scriptures that are connected to these various spirits. And, of course, I didn't print out the scriptures for you because I want you to go look them up. That's the way you learn. Amen? And so then she just came in today. He went back to the doctor, gone. They found it. Now it's gone, you see? And then there was a woman up in another state that we prayed for, a young lady, 25 years old, I think. And she had cancer, and she had billions of whatever it is that she had. Huh? Leukemia. She goes back to the doctor after we prayed and took authority, and it had gone down to something like 4,000. And every time she goes, it goes down more. And the Lord is healing that woman because we're praying for her here. And you see, the Lord can open up those doorways for you to be blessed financially, in your health, but in your spirit realm. And in your spirit realm, he fully expects you to do a turnabout in your life. Now, how do I turn about in my life? Because you see, there are things that you're doing that you got to give up. You got to quit it. Because they're open doors. And see, when an unclean spirit goes out, the Bible says, it'll go to the dry places, finding no peace and rest, it'll come back and it'll look you over and it'll say, vacancy or vacant. It scans you. And if you have a vacant vessel, that means that you're not filled with the things of God. It'll just say, hey, I'm just going to come back in there as seven times worse. And guess what? You'll be seven times worse. So this is why we tell you that it's a spiritual battle that you're in. And these open doors that you have to be shut. Now, in deliverance, remember the onion vision that I showed you. God will protect you as baby Christians as He's cleaning you. You know, if you catch a fish, you start at the tail and you start scaling him, right? Is that right, fishermen? Start at the tail and you start, and finally, you get up to the head and the whole body will be cleansed, right? Well, you see, you have to start somewhere. So as you begin to cleanse your vessel, the Lord will help you by putting warring angels around you. He'll help you to steady your course. He will put the fire of the Holy Ghost around you. He's looking for fruit. He's looking for gains that you've made in your life. He's looking to see that you're walking out what you know. What you don't know, He's protecting you from those things, okay? And so now, I'm going to tell you, don't go wading into water that you're not prepared to walk into because of the fact you can lose your life. I'm a seasoned minister, and 3.5 years ago, I went to Atlanta. And there was nobody watching over me while I was ministering. And there were a crowd of people around me. And all of a sudden, a woman just grabbed me by the arm and started running with me. And when you're in the spirit realm, you're as light as a feather. And so all of a sudden, she took a big circle and dropped me on my side and broke my femur in four places. And at my age, I'm only here because of Jesus, because a lot of people die from stuff like that. As a matter of fact, right after that happened to me, there was a woman over here in Jacksonville that was sent back home to Scotland to die because she'd broken her hip. So it's only Jesus that gives us breath and life anyway, right? So what I'm telling you is this. You need to understand that ground, taking ground, is like taking this piece of ground this week. Let me give you an illustration. Kitty goes out and she goes over to that palm tree, and there's a vine growing around in that palm tree. She disturbed it. She started to pull it down. There was a nest in there. She thinks it's a wasp nest. And so the wasp got mad and came, and it stung her, okay? That's sort of the way demonology is. When you go out and you begin to disturb demons, it's like stirring up a wasp nest, and they're going to come after you. And so you have to learn how to deal with your own spiritual warfare, get your own life up and going, get your protection set in, and then you can go and do things that God sends you to. I remember the lady that was teaching me as a baby Christian. She told me, she said, she was a powerful lady in the spirit realm, bold, just as bold as anybody I've ever seen. So her banker lady was a lesbian. So she heard that the banker lady was in the intensive care, and she came, she decided to go over there and pray for her. She goes over to pray for her, and she died as she walked into the room. And so we were all baby Christians when this happened. And so she raised her up off of the deathbed right there in the intensive care and came home, and the woman survived that night. when my friend that taught me went to sleep, she woke up in the middle of the night, and she saw this great, big, horrible-looking demon, black, horrible-looking thing, leaning over her bed, leering at her. And she jumped out of bed, and she said, I'm covered with the blood of Jesus. And she called an elder up on the church, and she said, there's something in my room. She told him what she had done. He said, honey, when you disturb a bee's, a wasp's nest, they'll follow you home. And that's sort of the way spiritual warfare is. You don't just go out blindly and do things and think that you're going to be protected. You are trained. The Bible describes us as being in the army of God. An army goes through boot training before they become spiritual giants and generals, you see. And so you stick close to people that are powerful in the spirit realm, that can talk to you, that can pray with you. And then as you go, you begin to stick with people that are going that can help to protect you. Don't go wandering out by yourself. You can get in a lot of trouble. You can do things in the comfort of your house that you can do by getting in your car and going across town and disturbing the bee's wasp nest. Prayer can bind devils any place in the world. You see the illustration that I gave you with Brady's brother? He's in Scotland. She and I were here. We handled that situation here in America. Well, I can remember a time she called me and somebody had died over there in the intensive care. We prayed and asked God to go in that room and raise that person from the dead, and he raised up. Is that right? Right here in Jacksonville, Florida. So you can do feet in prayer, but you wander out when God has put you out. Don't go before, because you can get in a lot of trouble. Spiritually, you can lose your life playing around with spiritual things that you have not learned yet how to walk in. Amen? Now, one last challenge is Jesus, according to this scripture, he hates the devil. He has divine vengeance that he wants to take care of that devil, and he does it through his army. Just as God did it through the Old Testament saints, he does it through his people. But the thing about it is that he wants your life to glorify God. That's what your purpose is. The glorifying of God is what's going to draw your family to Jesus. They might come to you and say, oh, you just think you're better than me because you've got Jesus. You don't cuss any more than I do. You don't smoke crack no more, but I do, but I'm just as good as you. How many's heard that? All of us. But you see, when they get into a problem, guess what? Guess who they're going to run to? They're going to run to the person that they know is not doing those things anymore. They're reading your life like a Bible. They're looking at you to see what's going on. Oh, well, she's going to fall. This is not going to be real. That's what my sisters told my mother. Oh, this is one of Pat's passing things. She'll be right back where she was in a couple of weeks. Well, 33 years later, I'm still standing, you see. But they read your life like a Bible because they can't read the Bible. But they can see you. They can see whether you're standing or whether you're not standing. So what I'm telling you is God is saying to you today, sell out. Let him be the ruler of your life. If you'll take a moment and just ask him, Lord, do you want me to go over there? Lord, do you want me to stay home and pray? You know what? He'll show you. Lord, do you want me to do this? Do you want me to run across town to that meeting? Guess what? Most of them, he'll tell you, don't even bother. That's the truth. So let him tell you and lead you. He said, I will send the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit. He'll teach you all things and lead you into all truth. So let him lead you. Let him do those things for you. And then all of a sudden, things will start happening in your life. These little surprises will happen for you too. Amen? And so, beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, all of the sadness should drop away. And the garment of praise. When you're not sad, you feel like praising the Lord. You have a jump in your step when you walk that was not there before. Your face loses the wrinkles and the lines in between the eyebrows. You become a new creation in Christ Jesus. You become empowered by the Holy Spirit. You become able to overcome. As you make yourself dependent on Jesus, He will give you the wisdom, the strength, and the power to overcome all things. But you got to yield to Him. You've got to admit that you've got the authority and the power because He gives it to you. Over in Ephesians chapter 1, He gives power to usward, His believers who believe. Now, if He's sitting on the right hand of God the Father, giving power to usward who believes, that means the exact same levels of power that He has, we can have. Doesn't that blow your mind? It just, hey, that's why you can raise the dead. That's why you can lay your hands on people and they are healed. That's why you can speak His word and it happens when you do. That's why, because that's why He came, to bring forth an overcoming church of people. Now, all of us have relatives that are not saved. Even I have relatives after 33 years that are not saved. But every one of my relatives that have gotten in the intensive care, I've seen God raise them off the deathbed. Every one of them, except two. I saw Him raise one man that was a relative of mine that died as I walked through the door. And his testimony was that when I came over and slapped my hand on his breast and said, I command his spirit back in his body, he was up on the ceiling watching me. He said he saw me walk in the room. He saw me come over, saw me put my hand on his breast, saw me pray for him, felt himself sucked back into his body. And so you have anointings and you have power, but power has to be used properly and defensively. We have a guy that's an electrician in here, and he'll tell you, go over there and take the electric wires out. Go ahead and grab a hold to any one you want. One of them will kill you. You have to be trained to know which wire to touch and which one not to cross and whatever they teach them. And, you know, even some of those fellows get killed at times because they get careless. Not you, in the name of Jesus. But the truth is, training is a part of Christianity. So don't miss these meetings. You know, I don't tell you not to miss because I want a crowd. That's the truth. Of course, every preacher would love to have a crowd. But I tell you not to miss because this is where you're supposed to be. This is where you're going to learn things that you need to know. And while I'm still around to teach you things that I know, take advantage of it. Because, I mean, you know, I'm not the youngest lady in the room. Take advantage of what God's given to you. And you'll see that God will help you. You'll know what to do. If something happens, you don't have time to learn a lot of things. You have to know. So Jesus came that you can be free. And I taught all of this because of the fact that he can set you free. It's just that you have to want to be free. The spirit of oppression, the spirit of heaviness is really about the same thing. The spirit of oppression is when something comes down upon you. Now that can come after deliverance. If it comes after deliverance, it's demons trying to come back. Right? It's not that you have a headache. First, do the things that you know to do in the spirit realms. Bind the devils. Cover yourself with the blood of Jesus. Command those oppressions to go. Don't run to the aspirin bottle or the crack bottle or the pain bottle or whatever. Do your spiritual work always first before you depend on the things of the world. Speak to it in the name of Jesus. After you've done everything that you're being taught, then you call pastor. If you can't get pastor, call your prayer partner. Call and say, look, I'm under attack. I'm being oppressed. Can you pray for me? You join with that person and bind and say, go in the name of Jesus. Release the spirits to go to the feet of Jesus. Ask Jesus to send the warring angels. By the time you get to the warring angels, they'll be gone. And so it's a warfare that you have to do. Don't just go do things that you used to do. You see, in order to sin, you have to, like if you're an alcoholic, you have to first get the desire in your mind. Then you have to say, well, I got to go get in the car. You get in the car. You go to the wine place. You pick up the bottle. You bring it home. You sit and drink it. Did a devil make you do that? No. Your will did that. Your will said, like a zombie, oh, it's time for me to go get a drink. That's the devil taking over your mind. That's when you've got to say, oh, no, you don't, devil. I'm not going to drink. And you can pound on my flesh. You can torture me. See, if you can't get authority over these little things right now, don't try to be a spiritual giant, because next time something bigger will come upon you. It's the little things that you can walk in that as you walk up the ladder of victories that you become more powerful, until finally you can walk in and raise the dead. You can walk in and you can call cancer out and it goes and it doesn't come back on you. I remember the first time that I went into a little lady's house. She was a young lady. She was dying of cancer. She was about 25 years old. And I went into the side of her bed, and I had already cast devils out and knew a lot about spiritual warfare. And as I was praying for her, something that I couldn't see with my spiritual eyes rose up off of that bed and came on me. I felt it. I couldn't see it. I felt it. I quit praying for her and started doing defensive warfare for me, because what that spirit was doing, it was saying, well, she's going to die. I'm going to get me another body. This is a baby Christian. Maybe I can get in her. You see, spiritual warfare, defensive warfare is very, very important. And overcoming the various areas that you're having problems with are very, very important. Very important. More than I can tell you. You're going to have to get your flesh tied down so that your spirit can rise up and become powerful and in charge, so that God can lead you. You see? so that you just don't go because somebody needs you. Everybody in the world needs you. But if God ain't sent you over there, don't go. There may be a trap there for the devil to kill you, you see. You got to get to the point that you listen, like the prophets of the Old Testament did. Go to a house called Straight. That's New Testament. There's a man over there named Saul. Go over to him. Well, now, Lord, why would you like for me to go to see Saul? Isn't he the guy that was killing Christians? Well, I wouldn't be caught dead with that man because he's killing Christians. Yes, but you see, you don't know everything that's going on in Saul's life. You don't know that I have already arrested Saul over there on the street going to Damascus. You don't know that Saul is blind and the scales. I'm going to pull the scales off of his eyes through your ministry so that now Saul can see and become one of the most powerful ministries in the body of Christ. You just be obedient to me, and I will develop a man of God that will be the most powerful man in the New Testament for me. Somebody that killed Christians becomes somebody that is delivering the Word of God to them. Isn't that a wonderful testimony? Did you get help today? Now, Brother Darrell's going to have to go to work, I believe. And so we'll do a session of ministry like we always do. And today, I'm going to be ministering a little bit.